It came first in a post on his Truth social media platform, President Donald Trump announcing that Israel and Iran had agreed a complete and total ceasefire, a ceasefire he said would last forever. In the post, he set out timelines. In about 6 hours, that was 5 a.m. Irish time, the ceasefire would start. Both countries, he said, had displayed courage, stamina and intelligence to end what he's calling the 12-day war. Just an hour ago, again on Truth Social, he said the ceasefire is now in effect. Please do not violate it. The ceasefire announcement came just hours after Iran unleashed missiles on the US airbase in Doha in what's been described by some as a carefully orchestrated revenge attack where Qatar had advance notice. There were no casualties. So was that attack performative and did it allow space for both sides to step back and take the win? Four have been killed overnight in Iranian missile attacks in southern Israel, nine in Israeli attacks on Iran. The total death toll over the 12 days of this conflict is estimated at over 500 in Iran and up to 30 in Israel. In the first of our reports this morning, our Washington correspondent Sean Whelan joins us now from DC. Sean, will you talk us through at least what we know at this stage of the United States behind the scenes negotiations that led to the Donald Trump ceasefire posts?
Well, what we know so far is that yesterday was a very, very intense day of the president and his most senior advisors, the Vice President J.D. Vance, the Secretary of State Marco Rubio, and also his special envoy Steve Witkoff, the man who's the point man, really, for all his negotiations with the Middle East over Gaza, over this war, and indeed over the Ukraine war with the Russians. Those four seem to have been in the West Wing for pretty much the whole day working the phones. Also critical to this was the Emir of Qatar, who was in direct contact with the Iranians and was putting the ceasefire proposals to them. So that is how the mechanics of it came about. But I have to say, Mary, normally when you get a ceasefire announcement, you get a very detailed time frame set out in writing, agreed to by everybody, publicly released all at the same time. We simply haven't had that. What we've had is announcements by social media, and that's basically it. So the rest of us have not seen any kind of detailed timeline of how this thing is supposed to unfold. You almost got the impression, particularly last night, that perhaps President Trump was just trying to bounce people into an agreement by publishing something on social media post, the equivalent of a Twitter post.
And just as he was announcing that ceasefire on that Truth Social platform, his vice president, J.D. Vance, was about to appear on Fox News. Let's have a listen to what he told the broadcaster at that moment.
When I left the White House, I thought that we might be able to get it across the finish line before this broadcast, and it looks like the president has been able to do that. I mean, look, he's been working the phones constantly, frankly, before the 12-day war started, but certainly over the past 12 days. The president's been extremely clear about America's national objective here. It is to create a world where Iran cannot build a nuclear weapon. We, of course, destroyed the nuclear program that they had, and the president told the entire team, we're going to work to make sure that they don't try to rebuild that nuclear capability in the future. And it's this is a great thing for Israel. Think about this. They've accomplished an important military objective. They've helped us destroy the Iranian nuclear program. They've also destroyed the conventional missile capability of Iran that threatened the country of Israel. For the Iranians, I think this is a new opportunity to actually pursue the path of peace. As I said yesterday, what the Iranians have showed through their support of terror networks, through their now failed effort to build a nuclear weapon, is that they're just not very good at war. And I think the president really hit the reset button and said, look, let's actually produce long-term peace for the region. That's always been his goal. I actually think when we look back, we will say the 12-day war was an important reset moment for the entire region.
And that was the Vice President J.D. Vance. And Sean Whelan, I know we're still light on facts, but if Donald Trump has pulled this off, has he achieved something in days that many believed could take weeks, months, even years?
That is certainly how it looks, Mary. I think the vice president set it out really well, and he is the president's chief policy communicator these days, presenting it as a win-win package for everybody who's been involved in this conflict over the past almost 2 weeks now. And that is a pretty remarkable thing, that three parties who were literally bombing each other have now apparently pulled off a peace agreement, which President Trump believes is going to become a permanent peace in that region. Now, obviously, there's a lot of detail has to flow through and get sorted out. There's been some reporting of one of the committees in the Iranian parliament, for example, approving a proposal to withdraw from the supervision of the International Atomic Energy Agency, which would obviously throw a spanner in the works of any potential peace agreement. But those kind of committees can, of course, be overridden in the Iranian system. Nevertheless, it does give an indication of the potential pitfalls that might come up. However, the important thing was to try and stop this conflict before it got into a seriously escalatory spiral. Mm-hmm. And whilst the American objective was obviously to get in and get out quickly with one bombing run, and they seem to have done that, it was always going to be harder for the other two, the Israelis and the Iranians, to stop, although both sides would have been starting to run short on missiles. The Iranians with their ballistic missiles and cruise missiles for attack, the Israelis certainly for defensive missiles to operate the Iron Dome to try and shoot down those incoming Iranian missiles. So there was a question of simply time and stocks of missiles on both sides that were going to be putting pressure on them anyway. Mm. But if they have pulled this off now, it is a pretty remarkable achievement for sure.
You mention as well the Emir of Qatar and his influence with the Iranians. But what was that Iranian attack on the US base in Doha then? Was it a one-off that was agreed with various parties involved to allow them to save face?
It really does look that way, doesn't it, Mary? I mean, that base, Al Udeid, President Trump had actually been there a month ago on his first big overseas trip to the Middle Eastern region, when he went to Saudi Arabia, the Emirates and Qatar, specifically to visit that base because it is the biggest American base in the region, 10,000 people. But the aircraft that were based there, according to satellite images taken before and just after the Israeli bombing attacks had started on Iran, showed the aircraft had all disappeared out of that site. So it seems the Americans had pretty much abandoned the base, and the Iranians sent off 14 missiles, the exact same number of these bunker buster bombs that were dropped on them, and most of them got shot down. I think all but one of them were shot down, and the other one apparently did no damage at all, and everybody knew it was coming. So it really does look like a performance, a show, if you like, to be put on. And again, we see echoes of that this morning, where Iranian media were saying, after our attack on the American base, a ceasefire was imposed on the enemy Israel. And that's why they have come to the table now. And that's why they're stopping their bomb attacks. But they were carrying on their attacks. I mean, there were very serious attacks against Israel during the night. Six waves of missiles rained down on that country. There were people killed in them. There were also people killed in Iran during Israeli bombing attacks. So they were fighting right up until the last moment when this ceasefire came into effect just a short time ago.
Yeah, I mean, Donald Trump will be buoyed up by what it appears he has achieved here. Is he on his way to The Hague? Is that his plan now, to participate in this NATO summit?
Well, that's the schedule. He's due to leave here sometime in the early morning. We're in the middle of the night here in DC, so I think he's about 4 or 5 hours away from departing to the Netherlands, where he's due at various receptions tonight and then a summit tomorrow. However, the way things have been going now, nobody would be surprised if the president decided not to go. On the other hand, maybe he can leave the situation to his deputies here while he's airborne, conduct business from Air Force One and carry on when he gets to Europe later on. We'll just have to wait and see on that one.
And right now, as you say, the middle of the night. But any plans do we know of to hear from Steve Witkoff again, from Donald Trump himself, or from any of his other various members of around that cabinet table in the Situation Room?
No, there's no plans. I mean, it is the middle of the night here. It's what, just after 2 a.m., quarter past two or something. Usually the president, when he's going off to the Marine One helicopter, says a few words to the members of the media pool who will be gathered there at that stage. So that would be the first opportunity for him to say something. I'd say it's going to be a pretty unmissable for him, really, to come out and say something at that point. He'll probably talk again to reporters in flight on Air Force One, and then who knows, maybe something else later on tonight. You'll have it probably for the 9 o'clock news over in Ireland. But that's the kind of time frame we're looking at for the president to communicate.
It's been a long day, a long night. And there we go. Sean Whelan in Washington, thank you very much. 20 minutes past seven.